Welcome to another edition of the Land Ho Podcast. I am Michael, and unfortunately Brian couldn't make it on the show. He's under the weather today, but we have a quick discussion about kind of what's going on, the last tidbits of E3, some of the interviews with Joe Neat. We're actually really interested in that I got to listen to, as well as we got our first live event last week, which is really exciting. Skeleton Thrones, kind of just touch a little bit on that as well. Just a lot of kind of just tidbits about how the game is going. And since Brian isn't here, we're not going to talk too much about the live event, but kind of touch on it just a little bit. I kind of want to hear his thoughts on it as well as part of the discussion. I also would like to hear from you all and see what you guys think of the Skeleton Thrones. But to start off with Skeleton Thrones, we can talk a little bit about it. But we have finally our first live event. The Hungering Deep is officially over, but all the updates from the game, so the trumpet, the drums, you have the Merrick Shanty is now in the rotation as well, which is awesome, because it's right now it's probably my favorite Shanty, as well as other people as well. I think that's something that everybody wanted, so that's cool that we got it. So now we got our first live event, and from the developer update, they are going to be called Bilzerat Adventures. We had the first Bilzerat, I believe Duke was his name. He was sitting at the tavern for Hungering Deep, and he is there again to guide you on your next live event. And what's interesting, so we're not going to spoil locations or anything, but essentially you're going to go out and find Skeleton Thrones and sit on them and get rewards from them, which is really exciting. And it's a 2-week live event. So I think every live events are going to be every 2 weeks, it seems like. I think it's really cool. So, and it's funny that Rare is doubling down on the whole meeting up with other crews thing. So I think half the Skeleton Thrones you can do on your own or with your own crew, and then the other half you have to have people from another crew sit on the thrones with you. And so these Skeleton Thrones are kind of on like weird areas where you have to kind of shoot yourself from cannons and whatnot. So it's really interesting. I think I'm curious how the event will end, how long it takes people, and kind of give our opinion on the first live event. Of course, it's the first one. I wouldn't call this necessarily like rich content, but it's basically playing with how the sandbox is currently, right? Like, I don't think these live events necessarily are going to introduce new sandbox changes. They have to kind of work. Those are what the big content drops are going to be, such as Hungering Deep, Cursed Sails, Forsaken Shores. So I think these live events are going to more focus on the current sandbox, not really add elements into the game, but kind of play with what we have and do something creative. So I think the Skeleton Thrones are pretty neat. It's a little fun activity. It's just nice to do something right that's not in the usual three voyages and stuff like that. That's kind of the main complaint that I hear from people that I talk to about the game, so who don't play it. So I think this is the first one. I think it's really neat. Got to play a little bit more, but I think it's neat. It's a good start. I wouldn't say it's amazing or anything, but it is a free live event, so it's kind of hard to complain about something that's free and something that kind of changes the game and gets people to work together. So more thoughts on that at the end of the live event, and hopefully everything goes well with the second live event that starts next week. We did Skeleton Thrones. We did say we're gonna, first of all, it was supposed to go on Tuesday, and then we had like a last minute tweet, so it was like Wednesday, and then I don't think it even launched till Thursday. So hopefully no more issues with the next live event. I think we kind of gotten used to this, but I really still think that every 2 weeks is going to be the expectation now. So if we don't get that, I think fans will be understanding, but also frustrated as well. So kind of wrapping things up with the Skeleton Thrones. I hope you guys have a great time. Again, you have one more week to do those. I don't think they specified exactly the day it ends, since it started on a Thursday. So we'll just have to see. I think the more interesting stuff that I want to talk about today would be some of the interviews, some of the tidbits that I found from interviews with Joe Neat. And I think some of the other Rare employees. I'm not sure. Yeah, Phil Spencer also talked to Giant Bomb. He actually talked about some of the business aspects of Sea of Thieves and also State of Decay 2, which was launched, I believe, just a month after, or even month and a half or 2 months after Sea of Thieves, which is another Microsoft exclusive, same kind of play anywhere title, Xbox, PC. And Phil Spencer actually said that they sold, quote unquote, significantly more than what Microsoft projected, which is really exciting. And then what people say is, well, they had Game Pass. Joni also shared as well and said that we actually hit that they were supposed to hit a target by the end of June, but they actually hit that in one day. Phil Spencer, who kind of the Xbox head, also said that as for Game Pass subscribers, Spencer said that they buy more games than any Xbox users, which isn't surprising. It's sort of the same thing, I believe, with Amazon, how Prime members spend more than non-Prime members. It is a little bit surprising that Game Pass subscribers are actually, I mean, spending more. You'd think that since they already have the games, they kind of, you know, just continue the subscription without buying necessarily Sea of Thieves. But from what it seems like, maybe they still end up buying the game. Maybe they unsubscribe from Game Pass or something like that, or they just want to own it, right? Like collect it, which is something I kind of like. Like I think Game Pass, you know, it's cool, but I kind of like owning the game as well. It's kind of just feels better. But despite Game Pass, they actually still, you know, hit their goal. They credit due to like streaming services as well as the Game Pass, let people try out the game. So it seems like that 14-day trial did convert a lot of people, or maybe people did it for a month, right? $1 a month or something like that, and you know, ended up buying Sea of Thieves. So I think that's really exciting news. I think that's, I'm really happy for Rare that they were successful with sales and stuff for Sea of Thieves. Hopefully now with the more content updates and continue to grow, sales as well as the concurrent, players as well. So I think it's really exciting. There's an article on IGN about it. It's really cool. And also on another one of my favorite podcasts, Joni had an interview with Jason Schreier from Kotaku. The interview was on Kotaku Split Screen, another podcast I highly recommend if you're just into other games than Sea of Thieves. They talk about kind of the industry as well, if you're interested in like the gaming industry, as well as like just games that Jason and Kirk Hamilton play from Kotaku. So a really interesting discussion, some throwbacks. So Jason from Kotaku actually asked Jonita about the whole Pirate Legend thing with Prodigy. And it's something that I've kind of like forgotten about. I don't think anyone really cares that much anymore, but it was just kind of interesting. Don't really want to go too much into it. But basically, Joe was saying that that was something they talked about internally, about whether they should kind of say something, you know, in public, and they kind of ended up not. And there was a whole, I guess it was a thing internally about what they should do. I don't think he was necessarily like okay, but he wasn't necessarily like, didn't like talk down on Prodigy or anything. He was pretty neutral about it. But it was kind of funny hearing Joe kind of talk about it, but I would definitely highly recommend listening to Kotaku Split Screen to hear kind of his whole take on it. It was really funny. Joe Need actually tweeted a picture of him with Prodigy as well. That was very interesting. You just have to see it. So yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. I don't really want to talk about Prodigy too much, but yeah, and there was some other, I mean, kind of aspects, right? So Joni was talking about, now let's talk more about the game, and he said that every 6 to 8 weeks is how they want to release new content, which is 6 to 8 weeks is about what he's trying to give each content update. So, we'll have to see. I think that's a good goal. I feel like it's probably going to be on the later end, but he was just kind of talking about a little bit of Chris Sales, Forsaken Shores. I think he kind of also just kind of talking about the teaser that came out during E3, the hype, kind of things like that. So it was a really good interview with Jason. I think Jason was, you know, kind of also asked him about, I believe he asked him about Skull and Bones, which is the Ubisoft game. And yeah, I mean, there's kind of just talking about the differences between that game and Sea of Thieves, obviously. But kind of just an interesting interview with Jason. From the business aspect, it seems like everything is going really well for Rare and Sea of Thieves, which is good to hear. You know, sometimes you kind of think about hopefully that they're still doing good just as a studio and health wise. They're not going to, it seems like they're not going to, or I think he was also asked about like a sequel to Sea of Thieves that was definitely not in the plans right now. I think they're really continued on supporting this game for the next couple of years. I don't think anything about like microtransactions came up. But I think it really seems like they're taking steps to actually do things that the players want, right? So, you know, Forsaken Shores, Sea of Thieves, we're getting a three-man ship. We're getting the rowboats that people have been wondering about. And I think they're prioritizing things that are actually going to change the game. And, you know, I still haven't really heard much about, let's say, like pets or I don't think even microtransactions yet. So, I mean, it seems like they're still focusing on just the game quality of life as a whole, getting those content updates that's going to acquire more players rather than trying to monetize the current base, trying to get more people into the game and then kind of worrying about monetization later is sort of my estimate on what's going on. Kind of just have to say that's sort of just my little analysis, just speculation. I think that's a really good move if that's what they're thinking about. I think they may have talked about the June being the month that they were going to do microtransactions with the Hunger Deep, but I don't know. So yeah, no, we'll just have to see. Nothing of that. So I do feel pretty good about the game right now. I just think they still have to, I still think that Rare needs to take it to the next level with Pirate Legends as well, which is something he's talked about too during his E3 interviews, doing more for them. Obviously, it's going to take the average player, right, who plays maybe a couple hours a week, a pretty long time to get there. So it's still kind of up in the air to see if they can really make the climb a little bit more interesting for those types of players. I'm basically one of them. I don't really have that much time to play every week, but when I do play, like, I want it to count. And yeah, I mean, I just think for generally, right, like when I talk about the game with friends, they, you know, they're a little bit on the negative side of things. But I think the game is totally different, right, when you play with a bunch of buds versus, you know, let's say like an LFG group, which is still good, but it's, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. And then by yourself, like playing this game by yourself, in my opinion, is not recommended at this point. I think at the beginning I said I liked it, but now it's just not really the same. But so I think maybe hopefully they kind of look at the solo player experience, looking at the data and seeing how they can enhance that experience as well. You know, matchmaking, I've just had so, like, I've tried it a bunch of times just for science research, and I mean, maybe like 1 out of 4 times it's a good experience. It's tough, you know, and a lot of people don't really know about, you know, LFG groups or looking for groups. So another tip as well, I don't really have that much to discuss. I hope this will just be kind of a quick filler with some of your other podcasts. I think next week will be a lot bigger of an episode, so hopefully stay tuned for that. But the last thing I kind of want to talk about is the Pioneer program, which is they are restarting. So as most Sea of Thieves nerds know, there was a, you know, private alphas that went on, and there was a select group of players who were, you know, had NDAs where they couldn't really disclose what they were, you know, playing. It wasn't like the open betas, right, where everyone can pretty much everyone can play and stream it, whatever. These people cannot. So they're doing this Pioneer program where they're taking back those players and seeing, and they're going to kind of release updates for them for that group of players. And they're going to be NDA'd as well, so they're not going to be able to talk about it. But I don't really have too many thoughts on this. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, right? Like, I think it's good that they're going to get instant player feedback, right, from players, not just from the studio. Because, you know, sometimes in gaming, we've seen this a lot more common recently, is what the studio thinks the players want isn't necessarily what the players want. and the players don't necessarily know what the studio is capable of making, right? So I'm not sure the technical alpha is really gonna, or these the Pioneer program is really for like feedback on like the content wise, but more so just like, does it work, right? Like the technical aspect. So I'm not really sure. I don't have any too much details yet. So I think that's starting up pretty soon. Congrats if you are a Pioneer, you know, check your email, see if you're reached out to. I think they're starting out with a very small group is what I've read, and then they're going to expand it. So, you know, if you play the game a lot, it's possible you'll be reached out to. I think they said that they have certain data points that they're looking at to see who to, recruit. So I think that's really cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure to what extent. Obviously we won't know because, you know, that group will have NDAs. So, we'll set to see. And, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I hope you found this episode insightful. I know it wasn't too long, but really appreciate it again. If you, you know, have any feedback on the Skeleton Thrones, definitely hit us up. Like, we love to hear that feedback that we've gotten on Hunger and Deep. It helps us kind of understand what other people are thinking rather than just Brian and I. I think Brian and I are definitely going to play this week together and see what we can do. Kind of do as many friends as we can. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We're really happy to keep doing this. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at LandoPod. Email us at LandoPod@gmail.com. Don't forget, if you really like the show, please rate and consider subscribing. Thank you so much and have a terrific week.